And the short story is that when I originally met the client, I didn't really think that there was a lot of opportunity, and he was not a prospect that I thought was going to yield much revenue. Therefore, I really didn't feel like he was worthy of investing a lot of time in. But when I started to try to push him away, the more that he was hanging on and pulling back and pulling me in to the relationship. And I ended up opening the account with this guy, and I opened it in a way that he pulled in all the assets that he had with all of the different firms. This client came to me wanting a plan. That was his primary outcome that he wanted. When I asked him, you know, so why are you here? How can I help? He said, I want to put together a financial plan. Now, the reason that I didn't think this guy was going to be a very good prospect was as I started taking the information down to draw the plan together after we had had some initial conversations and almost started kind of pushing him away, what I noticed was this guy was a great saver. He saved a lot of money every year. Not only was he maxing out his 401k plan, he was just about doubling that again outside the plan and had been doing that for a number of years. He was in his mid-40s at the time, and he had several million dollars saved up already and had no intention of stopping work anytime soon. Additionally, he already had accounts with Barnett Bank. He had accounts with Smith Barney. He had accounts with Merrill Lynch. He had accounts with an independent financial planner who was known in our community. Now, in addition to that, he also had a discount brokerage account as well as a no-load mutual fund. But the other thing that caused me to hesitate was as I looked at this portfolio, six different accounts, it was beautifully put together. It was extremely well diversified. It had a very good list of big name managers. So here I am sitting thinking to myself, this guy really doesn't need a plan because I can just tell from the amount of money he's saving and his age and how much he's got. And the primary thing that he's looking for is a plan. And or at least three of the four that he was doing business with probably had as good or better pieces of software to be able to draw that plan and get more of a robust plan. And also, I'm thinking to myself, man, I don't know that I necessarily want to draw up a plan for this guy because the plan's going to come back and say, you're fine. You're in exactly the portfolios that you should be in. You're doing fine. You're on exactly the path that you should be on at this point in time. And the third thing is I'm thinking, you know, this guy's not going to generate any revenue because there's not a thing in the portfolio that I would recommend that he move around. So the most that I have the ability to do is take over his systematic investment plan where he's putting a couple of $1,000 a month away every single month, hardly worth all of the effort when I think of all of the time and energy it's going to take to put that plan into place. So I was trying to kind of push back, literally kind of take away the opportunity to work with this particular client. And as I said earlier, the more I tried to pull the opportunity away, the harder that he pulled back and ended up doing business with me. And at one point I said, you know what, you're fine, you don't need a plan. And he got really frustrated with me. And I'd already been kind of pushing him off a little bit to begin with anyway. And now he kind of snapped a little bit. He says, why do you people keep saying that? And I'm like, keep saying what? And he goes, I don't understand this. I've got these four other brokers that I've talked to. I've been to them and I've told them that I want to do a plan. And they all have the same exact reaction that you do. You don't need a plan. And it's almost like you guys don't want to do this. You've got a fairly affluent client here. And I'm asking to have this service performed. And all five of you guys are telling me you don't want to do it. And you know, I kind of pulled back and I felt like kind of embarrassed and really kind of foolish at that point. And I said, well, you know, it's not that we don't want to do it. I'm sure any of us are willing to do it. But I think what we're trying to tell you is you don't need it. Well, at this point, he drops a couple of verbal bombs into the relationship and practically throws his hands up in frustration. And it's like, who are you guys? Now, I will stop here and tell you that driving somebody to the edge of anger as a method of eliciting a floodgate experience is, by most measures, a very horrible way of getting out that floodgate experience. For me, though, it was very good for two reasons. Number one, it worked. He did come out and tell me his floodgate experience. But number two, it was so different from any conversation that I had, and the result was so different that here's somebody that I would have thought, I've got no chance to sell this guy, period. There's really no reason that he needs me. And yet I ended up opening an account, closing out all six of those relationships, and moving the account over to me. It was so unusual that it piqued my curiosity. I had to go back and say, man, what really happened here? And that was the beginning of cracking that floodgate code and really understanding it on a completely different level than I'd ever understood it before. So from that standpoint, I'm very thankful I had the experience, although looking back at it, that is about as inelegant of a way of creating a floodgate experience as one could possibly have. But on another level, I'm kind of thankful because it did help me to go down that journey of cracking the code, which you're going to benefit from now. The Reader's Digest version of this guy's story was, at the beginning of the year, previous year, he had set a very aggressive financial goal for himself. And if he was able to achieve this financial goal, he's going to make $300,000. But he knew it was going to require him to work some nights, some weekends, very aggressively, not be distracted. So pulled together and had a little family meeting and said, this is what I think we can do. However, it's going to require that we work together and you guys create a little bit of a level of freedom for me to be able to work this. And that means, you know, might not be able to do some of the things that we normally like to do because I might be working. So made the presentation to his family, created a nice what's in it for us at the end of it. And the prize was if he was able to hit that goal, was going to be able to spend their entire school Christmas break skiing at Deer Valley. And if you've ever been to Deer Valley, you know, that's a very expensive place to do virtually anything. It's expensive to ski there. It's expensive to get a condo there. And it's very expensive to eat there. Even back then, this was the early 90s, lunch for a family of four was running him $50 or $60 most days. So my client really hadn't budgeted for all of these extra expenses, which were a lot. And, you know, particularly at first, they're out there, they're celebrating. He wants everybody to be happy. He's spending money like a drunken sailor to begin with. But then about less than a week into the vacation that they're out there, he takes a look at all of the money he's spending and he's thinking, holy cow. So suddenly he puts the brakes on the spending and starts saying, no, you can't have that. No, you can't have that. And you know how kids are, and they were 7 to 9 or something like that at that particular point in time. They don't take no for an answer. They're great salespeople, very persistent. Oh, please, Daddy, can we, huh? Come on, please, Daddy, can we, huh? I just need this. And you know, so it started to create some tension. And this is fairly early on into not quite a 3-week vacation, but less than the first week in when he puts the brakes on. So now that starts to create tension among him and his family. And, you know, the kids think money grows on trees. The wife is kind of saying, hey, honey, you know, we're on vacation and you did kind of promise this to us a little bit. But this guy is just getting more and more stressed out. His fuse is getting shorter and shorter. And bottom line, by the end of the story, or by the end of the vacation, he says, you know what, as we were leaving there, I'm thinking to myself, these guys should be carrying me through the streets on their shoulders, chanting the Daddy is Great chant. But instead, in reality, what ended up happening was, by the end of this vacation, they're all looking at me like the Grinch that ruined Christmas. But for me, all I could think about was the fact that here I've worked very hard. I've made all of this money. It's created a nice little additional savings pool. And I'm thinking, I am in 3 weeks blowing through every bit of the chunk of change that it took me 49 weeks to make. And this is BS. And he started stressing out, wondering, well, you know, here I've budgeted this thing so poorly. I thought I had a pretty good handle on what it was going to cost. How am I actually doing with everything else? And am I going to work for the next 15 or 20 years only to find out that I really haven't done as good of a job as I thought I had done saving money? So I want a effing plan. So as he was telling me that story, he had his floodgate experience. And that's what floodgate experiences kind of sound like, giving me some very powerful verbal anchors, in other words, trigger words of his that indicate certain emotion it's attached to things. And it gave me a very clear picture of how I needed to present the opportunity to work with me in such a way that he was going to find it irresistible in his mind. Now, when he told me his story, that also completely changed my mind. I went from thinking, well, not only can I open an account with this guy, but I'm going to, and I can provide him an absolutely enormous service. My problem was I was looking at him through my prism. And guess what? So were the other five salespeople. We're sitting there thinking, doing quick math, you know, based on where you want to go, based on what you tell us you're going to need, based on what you've got so far and what you're saving and what the markets are returning. Man, you're on easy street. Don't even worry about it, dude. I don't need the computer to tell me. I do this enough to know that we're in really good shape here. And I never talked to any of the other guys at the other firms to know, but my guess is they're probably looking at life the same way that I was. That, you know, they're projecting themselves and they're projecting what they know onto the client. And none of us were looking at the world through our client's eye. And once you begin to do that, a whole new world starts to unfold when it comes to selling, because the perspective has changed. And suddenly, you're looking at what they want. And you can see the path very clearly, what their obstacles are. But because of your expertise and the fact that you're an advisor, you also have the ability to, in essence, zoom up to a much higher level and see things from a perspective that they can't see.